We bless His name this morning. Well, you guys are in for a treat this morning. Had my singing debut, and we haven't heard from the evangelist. I hope there's not a problem. But Brother Dean's here, and he's hiding. It's not funny anymore, is he? Okay. All right. Well, you're stuck with me, I guess. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 107. I'm going to preach a message that I preached 4 or 5 months ago. And this morning in Sunday school class, we talked about praising the Lord. Our Sunday school class has been talking about those priestly furnishings, those furnitures there in the tabernacle, how the Lord had told Moses to make and how they had to follow that to a T if they wanted to get to where God was. We were talking this morning about that old brazen altar. That altar that was there as you entered into the tabernacle where they sacrificed and they burnt that lamb. And how that brazen altar, it symbols when we come to Jesus Christ, He saves us. And if we want to get to where God is, when that Holy of Holies, we have to first of all come to this brazen altar, get saved, born again by the grace of God. And then He told Moses to build a brass laver, a brass bowl, a brass pot, and to fill it with water. So once that priest offered that burnt offering on that brazen altar, and then he came to that laver, Aaron and his sons had to wash their hands and they had to wash their feet, because out there they'd been sacrificing and they had that hair and that fur and them entrails and blood and guts, and they had to wash themselves. If we want to get to where God is, we're going to have to be saved. But next, we're going to have to live a life that's clean and holy before an almighty God. Then once that priest washed themselves, then they could go into the holy place. So that priest would go into that holy place, and there in that holy place was a table of showbread. That showbread, that's where God fellowships with them. See, that priest was able to eat that showbread once a week. At the end of the week, he was able to eat. That's where God would fellowship, commune. Once we get saved, live a life that's holy and pleasing, that's clean before God, then we can come to a holy place and we can fellowship God and we can read His Word and He fellowships with us. If we want to get to where God is in that Holy of Holies, we're going to have some fellowship with the Almighty God. And then that priest would come over and he would trim that candlestick, that golden lamp, he would trim those. It would give off light. See, that light was the only light in that holy place. See, if we want to, after we fellowship with God, we have a Holy Spirit. God the Holy Ghost, He gives us light. He leads and He guides and He directs you and I. So he'd get saved, and then we have to live a clean life, and then we come to a place of the showbread where we fellowship with God, and now the Holy Spirit's leading us, the Holy Spirit's guiding us, the Holy Spirit's directing us. Then he comes to the altar of incense. See, this altar of incense was the closest piece of furniture to where God was. And every morning, every evening, God told Moses to tell Aaron to burn that incense. To burn that sweet smell, that aroma that would ascend to heaven into the nostrils and it would please God. That represents our prayers and our praying to Almighty God. See, we got to get saved and live a clean life and fellowship with God and let the Holy Ghost guide us and direct us and lead us and live a life that's of praise and of thanksgiving and of worship to Almighty God. And then once that was done, once a year, that priest could go into the Holy of Holies. So that's where God dwelt. And this morning, I hope it's your desire to get to where God is. That's my desire. I'm not there, but that's where I desire to be. And I hope that's our desire this morning, is to get to where God is. But as that priest, he would have to stop by this altar of incense and burn that sweet smell, that sweet savor that would ascend into heaven. I think that's where we're at this morning. Our praise and our prayers to Almighty God. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 107. We're going to look at this psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. And like I said, well, I preached this a few months ago, and as they sang about praising, and as they sang about giving worship to God and trusting God, and in the Sunday school classes, we spoke about praising God. I think this would be fitting to us this morning. The psalmist says in Psalms 107, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endureth forever." He starts out in verse number one telling to us, commanding us to give praise unto the Lord. He said that He is good, that His mercy endureth forever. I'm glad I serve a good God this morning, aren't you? He's not only good, but He's better than the best. We serve a God that's high and mighty and it's lifted up. And I want to testify of His goodness this morning and just tell the congregation that God has been good to me and He's been good to my family. Has He been good to you this morning? The psalmist commands us to give Him thanks. He says to give Him thanks. And that word "give thanks" is translated to throw. It means to cast. It means to hurl. I think He's telling us this morning, Fletcher First Baptist Church, as we come to this altar of incense and we burn that sweet smelling savor that ascends to God, that we need to give thanks, that we need to hurl some thanks, that we need to cast some praise, we need to throw some praise to our Almighty God. He's saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." He's been merciful to us. Brother Leroy already testified of His goodness. Brother Henderson here this morning, who's had that surgery, testified of His goodness, how He's brought him through that surgery. He's been good to us this morning. He's been kind to us this morning. He's been gracious to us this morning. He's blessed you and I beyond measure. And we need to give Him some thanks this morning. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." Psalms 107. It's a psalm of praising God. It's a psalm of thanking God. A psalm of gratitude. A psalm of appreciation, of thanksgiving to the one that deserves it, to the one that's worthy, to the one that deserves and is due all of our praise that we can throw His way. These are the verses I want to look at this morning. Verse number 8. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse number 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works unto the children of men." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." You know, it's mentioned 4 times in our text this morning that we should praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. And I believe if it's said 1 time in God's Word, it's worthy of us listening and obeying it. But if it's mentioned 4 times in 1 chapter, I think it denotes special emphasis, special attention, and the magnitude of what's being said here this morning. He says that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord and for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." That word "oh," in those verses, that means a great yearning, a great desire, a deep desire, a great deep groaning. He was saying, "Oh, if only men would praise the Lord. If only men would, if only men had a desire, a yearning to praise God." It was a deep yearning, a deep thing from the inside, groaning, wanting men to praise the Lord. That's what we need today in a day of apostasy in our Baptist churches. People will fall away. Complacency. Things of the world creep into our Baptist churches. We become dull and stale and lukewarm. And I'll remind you this morning, that makes God sick. He said, I'll spew you out. We need men and women. We need some young folks this morning. Some teenagers this morning that would live a life. If they'd come to that altar of incense, and their life and their praise would please God, and that deep yearning would please their Holy Savior. I'm not talking about being charismatic, but I am talking about those that are saved, those that are born again, those that have been blood washed and born again, have stopped by the brazen altar, has been saved, and Jesus Christ has covered their sins, praising their Savior. Remembering what God's done for you. Remembering where He's brought you from. Remembering your past and how you ought to be in hell this morning, but God has saved your soul. You can go to any of our Baptist churches this morning, and you'll find a choir loft. You can find a baptism where they baptize new converts. You'll find instruments. You'll find someone standing behind a pulpit and preaching the Word of God. But I think we're missing in our Baptist churches praise to our Almighty God. Here's the text. Oh, that men, if only men ought to praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. We should praise the Lord, I see, first of all this morning, because He's been good to us, for who He is. Him just being God and how He saved us. If He's never done anything good for us in our life, we should still praise the Lord. But I see, first of all, we should praise the Lord for all that He's done. How He's saved us. I see, first of all, verse number 4, the Bible says, they wandered in the wilderness. Now we see 4 different groups of people in Psalms 107. And all 4 of these groups of people have different problems. All 4 of these groups of people have different trials and troubles and valleys that they walk through. But they all praised one God. There was one Savior. There was one answer. As we assemble here this morning, every pew, every section, every family, every individual has different problems in their life. But we can come to an Almighty God and offer praise and thanksgiving for what He's done for us. Look at what this first group of people went through. Verses 4 through 9. We see this group of people that they're wandering in the wilderness. Verse 4 says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their stresses. We see this first group of people that was wandering in the wilderness. That word wander in verse 4, it means to go astray. Senseless direction. They had no sense of direction. They were just out in the wilderness wandering around. No one to lead them. They was hopeless. They were helpless. It seemed like they were just going to and fro. And the Bible says that they were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted them. That word fainted means to overcome with darkness. It means that it was dark and gloomy, and the things in their lives, they were just wandering to and fro. Everything was doom and gloom. This first group of people had a problem. They were in bad shape. They were wandering. They were thirsty. They were hungry. They were fixing to faint, the darkness of their soul, to faint in their great distress. Sounds like to me this first group of people were lost. No one to guide them. No shepherd. No one there to save them. They were lost on their journey, lost on their way, hopeless, no sense of direction, hungry. They were needing something. They could never find it. They were continually searching for it. And what were they to do? Well, verse number 6 says, they cried unto their Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. They cried unto the Lord while they were lost. They cried unto the Lord when they were hopeless. They cried unto the Lord when they were hungry and helpless. And the Bible says the Lord delivered them. He reached down. The word is to pluck out. He pulled them up out of their sense of lostness as they're wandering with no direction. Why should we praise the Lord this morning? Why should you give thanks to God this morning? When you come to the altar of incense and you burn that incense, why should you be praising God? Because He saved you. If you're here this morning and you're born again, you're blood bought, you have a blood-stained Redeemer that deserves and commands your praise. We should praise the Lord first of all because He saved us. He redeemed us. When we were hopeless, when we were helpless, we had no joy, no hope, there was God, and He plucked us out. He saved us, and it was His delight. He deserves our prayers this morning. Verse number 9, it says, He satisfied the longing of their soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He not only saved us, but He's put something down inside us that gives us joy and peace and gives us happiness. And there's that longing, that hungering, that thirsting is no longer there. I wonder this morning, are you saved? Young folks, have you ever been born again? Have you came to a place you repented of your sins and you asked God to forgive you and your life reflects you being saved? If you're here this morning, you're saved. I see, first of all, we should praise Him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. But look at this second group of people. Verse number 10, the Bible says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in the affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contented the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. The second group of people, they were lonely. The second group of people, they were in a dark place, the Bible says, a gloomy place in their lives. They had been disobedient to God, the Word of God. They rebelled against His commandments and they were complacent in His sayings and they felt like there was no one around. They were in a place of obscurity, a place of loneliness, a place of gloom. They were there because they had disobeyed the Word of God. They were there because for whatever reason in their life, the world had crept in and their desire to serve God, their desire for the things of God was no longer there. There may be some here this morning that's in that same group. There was a time when God saved you. You had a zeal, a desire to serve Him. You wanted to be faithful and you were faithful. You were found doing the will of God, but for whatever reason, you found yourself in a low place. You found yourself in a dark place. You may not have been disobedient, but for whatever reason, you feel like you're a place of loneliness, a place of darkness. The word is heaviness there. It seems like everything is weighing down on you. Verse 10, it says that such as sit in darkness. The word sit means to abode. It means to dwell, to stay in. They were captive in the place they were at. Verse 12, the Bible says, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. They were low. The Bible says in verse 12 that they fell down. It's a picture of them staggering, a picture of them stumbling as they were trying to stand up and walk. They were too feeble, too weak to proceed on. They were in a low place. What were they to do? Verse 13 says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Can you remember the time when you were low? A time when you felt like you couldn't go any further. Maybe a time you felt like you were all alone. Maybe a time when it felt like this world was too heavy to bear. It was pressing down. You were bound. You were in a lonely place and you cried unto the Lord. And what did He do? Verse number 14 says, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. He delivered them. He set them free. They were in a lowly place, a dark place, a place of heaviness. They cried unto the Lord, and Jesus Christ set them free. I see, first of all, we should praise God because He saved us. Second of all, we should praise God because He set us free. Free from bondage. Free from sin. Free from despair. Free from darkness. Free from Satan and the things of this world. Oh, Jesus set me free one day. I praise His holy name. Our text verse number 15. This first group of people were saved and they praised God. This second group of people were set free. And the Bible says in verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Has God set you free this morning? If He has, we should praise God. We should come to that altar of incense and burn that sweet smell, that sweet savor unto the nostrils of a holy God. Number three, we see this third group of people. Verse number 17, the Bible says, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto their Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We have another group of people. This third group of people, they had a problem. They were in great trouble as well. And this morning, I pray that I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. And verse number 11 and 12, they were in this situation because they disobeyed God. And verses 18 and 19, they were in this situation because of their transgressions, because of their sins, and because of their iniquities. And look at what kind of distress they were in. This great distress. Distress. The Bible says in verse 20, He sent His word and healed them. That word healed means to cure. That word heal means to repair. That word heal in our King James Bible means to make better. That's the verb sense of that word healed. But the noun sense in that same word means a physician, a doctor, someone there that's to help. These people, this third group of people, sounded like to me that they needed a physician. They needed a doctor. They needed someone to come by and repair. Someone to come by and help. Someone to come by and heal. They must have been sick. No doubt our text says they were spiritually sick. Maybe you're here this morning, you're spiritually sick. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been physically sick. Verse number 18, the Bible says, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. The word abhorreth means to detest. Means to loathe. It means that they couldn't stand it. The thought of food, of spiritual food, no doubt in our text, made them sick. The thought of God, it was making them sick. Have you ever been so sick that the smell of food, the thought of food, just the mention of food made you nauseated in your stomach? You've been so sick, that spiritually sick, that you didn't have a desire for the things of God or a desire for the house of God. They were deathly sick. These groups of people needed a physician. Verse 18 says that they draw near to the gates of death. The word draw near means to touch. It means to grasp hold of. They were so sick. They were so down. They were so needing a physician so bad that they drew near. They were almost touching the gates of death. This third group of people were sick. You know, I think of Fletcher First Baptist Church. God's been so good to us. There's so many people walking across this congregation this morning that's been physically sick. He's come to you in your time of need, knocking on death's door. It seemed like you were there and you could touch the gates of death. But for whatever reason, God's come by and He's spared your life once again. We've heard that testimony so many times, week after week after week. Children in here, if it wasn't for God, that no doubt that the death would surely come to their bodies. Has God not been good to you? Has God not touched your body? Has He not healed you in your sickness? What were they to do? What were they supposed to do because of their sickness? When God came by and He sent His Word, the Bible says in verse 20, and He healed them, He repaired them, He made them whole, and He delivered them out of their destructions. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works, and to the children of men. Has God saved you? We should praise Him. Has God set you free? We should praise Him. Has God healed your sickness? We should praise Him. We see this fourth group of people, and I'm trying to hurry. The Bible says in verse number 23, they that go down in the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and they are at wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. We see this fourth group of people. Mariners. They were out at sea. And this great storm arises. The winds begin to blow. The waves begin to raise. And it says they're tossed to and fro. They're staggering, the Bible says, like drunken men. Couldn't stand up. The Bible says that they're melted because of their trouble. They were in fear. Verse 27, that says that they were at their wit's end. This morning, I wonder how many under the sound of my voice or by the way of internet feel like they're at their wit's end. You don't know what to do. You've tried everything. And it seems like the great storms of life has you staggering. It's hard to stand up and you're trying to hold on. And it seems as like you're a drunken man. The great storms of life, these trials in life, they're tossing you to and fro. But I'm thankful He stills the storm. Verse 29, the Bible says that He maketh the storm a calm. So the waves thereof are still. It says that He makes it calm. The word there is to whisper. He speaks peace. It means a stillness. You may be here this morning, and I don't know the situation. Maybe it's family problems, financial problems, marital problems. Maybe you're having problems with your children at school, whatever the problems is, and it seems like you're at your wit's end. You're staggering and you can't hold on and you don't know what to do. We can call on Jesus Christ this morning. You can come to this altar and thank Him for all He's done for you and ask for His help. And the Bible says that He whispered to calm. He spoke peace. He spoke stillness in their life. What were they to do? Verse 31, our text verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works, and to the children of men. I always want you to do, folks, this morning is to praise Him, to thank Him. Has He saved you? We should give Him praise. Has He set you free? We should thank Him. Has He come to you and healed you in your time of sickness? Why don't you give Him some praise? If you're going through those storms of life and it seems like you can't hold on any longer, I believe if you'll praise Him, you'll see He'll whisper sweet peace. All He wants is praise. That's all I want for my children. I can't do much for my children. I try to provide for them and maybe buy them something that brings joy to their lives or do something that makes their life easy. And when I see that it's a blessing to them, that thrills my heart. But every now and then, one of them will come and whisper in my ear, Dad, thanks, that means so much. Or one will come and give me a hug, or one will come and give me a kiss. and tell me, Dad, I love you and I thank you so much for what you did. There's something in my soul that just bubbles over. Are you a child of God this morning? Why don't you come and praise Him? Why don't you come and thank Him? Thank Him for saving you. Thank Him for setting you free. Thank Him for healing your sickness. And thanking you for calming the storms of life. That's my message this morning. Are you praising God? If you want to get to where God is, you have to be saved. You have to live a life that's clean at this brazen altar. You have to fellowship with God by reading the Word of God. You have to come to the lampstand and let that light, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct you. Then you have to come to the altar of incense and you have to offer that praise and thanksgiving and your prayers to Almighty God. And when you do that, we can get to where God is. If everyone would stand this morning. Jason, Misty, Aunt Natalie, if you'll come and sing that song you sang earlier. Father, we thank you for this day, for your blessings, for your mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd bless these few words, Lord, that we had the opportunity, the privilege to read this morning. Father, I'm behind on my praying and my praise, and God, I just want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you for setting me free and for healing my sickness and calming those storms of life. Maybe there's some folks in here, Father, that need your help this morning. God, I pray that you'd help them. I pray, Father, as they call upon your name, you'll meet those needs. You know the needs of the hour. Father, you're holy, you're worthy. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar's open. Whatever your need is this morning, why don't you come and praise Him for all He's done for you?
Today I faced a mountain once again. It seemed so tall. I tried to climb it, but it seemed I'd surely fall. So once again, I called on Jesus, and just as always, I felt His presence, His hand of mercy. It lifted me just in time. And I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him. His grace has been sufficient, and like before, He's given victory one more time. He was always standing by my side when the valley was low and the river was wide. I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him one more time. Looking back on one more time. I want
When the valley was low and the river was wide, I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him one more time.
Amen. So glad you came this morning on our youth Sunday. Be much in prayer this evening. Maybe Brother McNeese will be with us. We'll try to contact him and see if everything's okay. Be praying for him and his family as well. We do ask that everyone is invited to our fellowship building. We're going to be celebrating Miss Sandra's birthday. We thank Miss Sandra for all she's done and for this church, how she stands behind our pastor and there supports them and prays for them, and she exemplifies what a pastor's wife should be. And we want to thank Miss Sandra. We love you, Miss Sandra. So you're invited to that, and be much in prayer for this evening's service.
Amen. What a wonderful message. Sometimes God breaks in like that, and even though Brother Gunn wasn't ready, God was ready for him. Couldn't have been any better if you'd have studied for 4 days, brother. And that's the message we need this morning. I don't understand about Brother McNeese. Don't have any idea, but this was a message for this morning. God's on time, and we appreciate you being here. Let's go to God in prayer, thanking Him for the day, and if Brother McNeese, something happened, doesn't show up tonight, then Brother Gunn will be here, and maybe we'll get another message similar to that. It'll be all right, won't it? Hope you can come too, everybody. And then, as far as we know, the revival will be continuing Monday through Thursday night, and if Brother McNeese is sick or something, somebody will be here. The Lord already spoke from my heart and said, you know, I've been planning on for a while anyway having some preachers. We've had many preachers here that got called to preach, and God sent them out in the highways and byways pastoring. We'll get some of those back. We'll have revival this week, whoever it is, and God knows all that. Let's trust Him. Let's go to God in prayer for the food and thank the Lord for my wife and for her birthday coming up and for you that brought the food. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can call you Lord. Thank you for the service this morning, how you met the needs of the hour, Lord, with these wonderful youth singing and rejoicing and has brought us to worship around the throne for the message, Father, that just fit the need and fulfilled everything that we need this morning because we are pointed toward Calvary. Thank you for the food that's been prepared for my wife and for her service to you. I pray for her health, for all the other needs. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.